الشيطان اللعين الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله، الحمد لله الذي ليس لأوليته ابتداء ولا لأزليته انقضاء، وانحصرت الأوصاف عن كنه معرفته ورضعت عظمته العقول، والذي لا تواري عنه سماء سماء ولا أرض أرضا. ثم الصلاة والسلام والتحية والإكرام على سيد البتحاء سيد المرسلين والأنبياء أبي القاسم محمد المصطفى.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وأجل
وعلى الجوهرة القدسية البتول العذراء سيدة النساء فاطمة الزهراء، وعلى بعلها أمير المؤمنين، وبنيها الذين أذهب الله عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد
لا سيما على بقية الله وحجته الكبرى الذي بيمنه رزق الورى وبوجوده ثبتت الأرض والسماء، ولولاه لصاحت الأرض بأهلها، واللعنة الدائمة على أعدائهم أجمعين من حين عداوتهم إلى قيام يوم الدين. أما بعد، فقد قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم: من أخلص لله 40 صباحا جرت ينابيع الحكمة من قلبه على لسانه. صلوات.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
Our discussion continues around this hadith and tradition of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, where he has said that whosoever has ikhlas and sincerity towards Allah for 40 mornings, fountains of wisdom burst from his qalb and flow over his tongue. And we, in the last Thursday, were discussing about the 25 action points that Ayatullah al-Uzma Sayyid Mahdi Tabatabai Bahrul Uloom had mentioned in his manual of spiritual purification for all those who are serious regarding their spirituality. So these are some practical tips. We discussed 4 or 5 of those in the previous lesson, which were Al-Muhafaza ala Salawat al-Khams, that means protecting the 5-time prayers. And I explained to you what the word protecting means. That means we always do our best to pray our 5 times compulsory and obligatory prayers in the beginning time of the prayers. And also likewise taking care of the sunan and adab, the mustahab prayers and the du'as and the etiquettes which are mentioned regarding the prayers. And these things actually decorate, that serve as an adornment and decoration for our prayers. And the nawafil, the mustahab nafila prayers, which in addition to the great sawab it has, it also serves as a compensation for the possible faults and shortcomings that we may have done in our wajib prayers. And nawafil, he had mentioned that basically Fajr nafila should not be ignored, which is 2 rakats before the Fajr. the Zuhr Nafila should not be ignored, unless if there is a, you know, justifiable reason for that. So the Zuhr Nafila is 8 rakats before the Zuhr prayers, which we do 2 rakats, 2 rakats, 2 rakats, 2 rakats. And he said that the Asr Nafila, the Nafila of Asr prayers, you can leave half of it, but the other half, that means 4 rakats minimum instead of 8 full Nafila, minimum 4 rakats should not be ignored. That means as a minimum we should try our best to do 4 rakats of Nafila, which we do before the Asr prayers, 2 rakats, 2 rakats. Even if we could not do the whole 8 rakat, at least we do the 4. And also he mentioned that we do minimum 2 rakats of Maghrib Nafila prayers, which we do 4 rakats after the Maghrib. The minimum we do 2 rakats if we couldn't do the whole 4. And the Wutaira, that means that 1 rakat Nafila that we do after the Isha prayers can be left. It's even without any uzr and excuse, it can still be left. And also he had mentioned about all the parts of the body. The action point number 4 was all the parts of our body, a'wa al-badan, should be keeping away, should be kept away from every kind of zulm, oppression, whether done towards our own soul or oppression done towards others, and kept away from khiyanat, that means misdealing and mistreatment, breaching the covenant or breaching the entrusted trusts of Allah, things that Allah has entrusted to us, and we misbehave towards them, which equals to maltreatment, bad behavior, and not taking care of the entrusted trusts. And this is called khiyanat. If you do not take care of the entrusted trusts of Allah, this is called khiyanat towards the amanat and trust of Allah. And shubha, and keeping away from the confused things, and I will explain. And also protecting the lisan, particularly he has mentioned, singled out among all the parts of the body, protecting our tongue is very important. One of the very effective ways of protecting the tongue is through fasting. That means if we do mustahab fasts as much as we can, it helps automatically to train ourselves, to tame our desires and our wishes, to tame our tongue, to control our tongue from an uncontrolled, careless talk. So yeah, that was the action point number 4 about the a'wa and parts of the body, a'wa al-badan. Zulm is very clear. Any kind of oppression, literally the word zulm in Arabic means you placing something where it doesn't deserve. So if I put a pillow on the shoe rack, that's a zulm, literally speaking, in the literal sense of the word, because the pillow where I put my head, it doesn't deserve, it's not right, it's unfair for me to put the pillow, a place to put my head, over a shoe rack, which is a place to put our shoes. This is a zulm in the literal sense of the word, placing anything where it doesn't deserve, or you put your shoes over your head. For example, this is another, it is considered to be a zulm in the lughatan, literal meaning of the word. Any kind of behavior which it's not deserving. And when it comes to our spirituality, all those things have been defined by God in the revelation. What is zulm and what's not? Every kind of haram is a zulm, Every kind of sin is a zulm towards a person's own soul. Al-zulmu zulumatun yawm al-qiyamah. The hadith says the zulm is darknesses on the day of judgment. So darknesses on the day of judgment, it is darknesses even today. We don't see the darknesses after doing the sin. We don't witness the darknesses which are found available in our soul because of the sin, but when the curtains of sins are removed from our eyes on the day of judgment, we would then see the darknesses that are found, that were available back then in the life of dunya, but we failed to witness. So, and nobody can cross the place of the bridge of Mirsad, Inna Rabbaka Labil Mirsad, which Imam Ali al-Islam in the tafsir of that ayat has mentioned that qantaratun, it's a bridge, la yajuzuha ahadun bi mazlamatin, no one can cross this bridge if he has any zulm in his neck than towards someone. So if you did a zulm towards somebody, you cannot cross that bridge on the day of judgment, which we have learnt in the name of Mirsad. So we have to clear up ourselves. Those who could not clear up, the hellfire is wise and has intellect and aql, which is unlike the fire of this dunya. The hellfire was dipped into ocean 70 times and the remainder was left on this world. So you can understand the remainder of hell, of the hellfire, which the fire in this world is very hot. You know, no one can tolerate the fire of this world. It's 70 times lesser in its igniting force as compared to the hellfire. And actually that's the only thing. If you try to single out one thing which every single existence is afraid of, not everybody is afraid of water. You find all the animals are best swimmers, including the elephant and rhino. Every animal is a swimmer. So not every creature of God is afraid of water. So if you talk about heights, not every creature of God is afraid of heights. If you talk about winds, not every creature of God is afraid of winds. So there's the only common thing that you can ever find which every single existence created by Allah is equally afraid of, is fire. So the Creator knows us best. So that's the punishment for the sins when we are crossing over the bridge of Mirsad on the day of judgment and we have a zulm and oppression done towards somebody. We cannot cross it. The hellfire has aql and intellect, unlike the fire in this world which has zero intellect. You can put the Holy Quran in the fire. If somebody wants to insult Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there are lots of disbelievers who do this kind of insults towards Islam every now and then in the name of freedom or democracy or whatever. So the fire of this dunya doesn't know nothing about what it is. It will burn down your finger, it will burn down a Quran. Whereas the fire in the day of judgment is unlike this fire. It has intellect. The benefit of intellect is that it is empowered to distinguish between haq and batil, khair and shar, muti and asi, obedient servant of God and disobedient sinner towards Allah can be easily distinguished. So whenever a person will be walking, the fire can precisely distinguish whether he is a mu'min, a believer in God, or a kafir, a disbeliever in God, whether he is a muti, obedient servant back then in the life of dunya, because the fire can read the nuraniyat, emitting the divine light emitting from your soul. The fire can see and judge it, whether you were obedient and muti'. So it's not going to burn you and allow you to cross over the bridge which is falling, or which is, you know, over the hellfire. Or if a person is a sinner, it can distinguish the zulumat, the darknesses which are found and seeable by the hellfire it can see the darknesses of the zulm and oppression, so it can take the revenge and compensate for those oppressions, because justice has to be served. No one is above the law. So when we do the, you know, when we do the wudu and ablution, that is mustahab and recommended, we read all those du'as. We talked about those du'as in the Wednesday class, men's class, and also in the ladies' fit class. We discussed all those du'as when we were talking about the ahkam of wudu. And when you are pouring water, on the left hand, Allahumma la tu'tini kitabi bi shimali. We say, oh my Lord, don't hand over my book of deeds into my left hand. وَلَا تَجْعَلْهَا مَغْلُولَةً إِلَىٰ أُنُقِي. And don't let the book of deeds be hanging in my neck. وَلَا مِنْ وَرَاءِ ظَهْرِي. Don't neither give hand me the book of deeds from the back, from my back, nor allow the book of deeds to be hanging in my neck. Because these are the three ways how the sinners will be handed over the book of deeds, either towards the in their left hand, or from behind their back, or the book of deeds would be hanging in their necks. وَجَنِّبْنِي مِن مُقَطَّعَاتٍ نِيرَانٍ. And then we say in the dua that keep me away from those flames of the fire which are going to take the pieces off the body. Take the pieces off my body, and precisely according to the sins, oppressions that I have done on others, the body has to pay the price, and that has to be compensated. In the fire, in the hellfire, precisely knows the amount of oppression, and will take out that much part of our body which deserves to be taken. And when a mu'min person will be crossing over the hellfire, the fire will address the mu'min by saying, the hadith says, the fire will say to a mu'min, Juz ya mu'min, cross O mu'min, fa inna nuraka atfa'a lahabi. Your nur is extinguishing my flame. This is because of the nur of the walayat walayat belief for Amirul Mu'mineen alayhi salam and the rest of the 11 Imams. So what we were talking about is the bridge of Mirsad, which is the place where no one can go beyond that with any zulm in his neck towards anyone. And likewise khiyanat, which he singled out. Khiyanat in Islam is that means misbehavior towards the entrusted trusts of Allah. The entrusted trusts of Allah are as follows, what our scholars have mentioned. First of all, the very common example that usually comes in our mind when we talk about amanat, trusts of any kind of trust. The very common example is that of money. If somebody gives you 100 bucks and you accept it, you have the right not to accept. If you don't accept, fine, that's your freedom, that's your choice. But once you accept $100 to take care of those $100 from him as an amanat and trust, then you are liable to take care of the money, not to use it, protect it, and pay him back when he comes to, when he asks you to give it back. So this is a very common example of money. Likewise, the second thing which is part of the concept of amanat in Islam, the entrusted trusts of Allah, the second thing is the Holy Quran. The Holy Quran is an amanat of Allah, the tanzeel of Allah. Everything that God revealed is an amanat. We will be held accountable on the Day of Judgment. How did we behave towards the divine revelation? How did we protect and practice the teachings in the divine revelation of Allah? So this revelation is an amanat. No one can add anything into it. No one can deduct anything from the divine teachings in the book and the Sharia. So those of the people who have added and changed or have did khiyanat towards this amanat of divine revelation will be held accountable. And likewise, the third thing which falls in the category of amanat is the parts of our body. Every part of our body is an amanat of Allah. What Imam Ali alayhi salam has said in his hadith that, when he's doing his dua towards Allah, he said, Allahumma ij'al nafsi awwala karimatin tantazi'uha min kara'imi. Oh my Lord, make my soul the first of those things that you retrieve. He's talking about the time of death. Allah is retrieving. Our soul doesn't belong to us. Our body actually doesn't belong to us. These are all entrusted trusts of Allah that He handed over in our control in the life of this dunya, and sent His revelation through the prophets and messengers, and after them were the imams to protect the same teachings of the Sharia. And we are held accountable for how we behave towards this amanat and trusted trust of God. He has the right to take it back. A Muslim is a person who believes that nothing belongs to nobody. A Muslim is a person who believes that nothing belongs to nobody. Al-mulku lillahi al-wahid al-qahhar. The entire realm, whole empire belongs to Allah. Everything belongs to Him. Al-milku al-haqiqi, the real ownership of everything is His. If we are owners of something, if I go and buy something from the marketplace, in our Islamic jurisprudence, we call it milkiyatun i'tibariya. It's a considered ownership, considered quote-unquote, because Allah has a consideration. He considered this transaction to be legitimate in my favor. Because of the divine consideration and i'tibar, this thing becomes my property. Because of the divine consideration which is overseeing this transaction. So this is called milkiyatun i'tibariya in our Islamic jurisprudence and fiqh. So there is no milkiyatun haqiqiya, real ownership of anything owned by anybody. Nobody owns nothing. Everything belongs to Him. He is the creator and He is the owner. So everything in the universe is His. Our parts of the body and soul is no different. Imam Ali is asking in his dua, in other words, that at the time of death, when you take away, you retrieve the things, make my soul the first thing that you retrieve away from me. That means, in other words, there are some people who die away from this dunya, you find their eyes stop work seeing, their hands stop moving, they have a stroke, they have different kinds of illnesses in their final age, they could not walk, their feet stop working, they have different sorts of illnesses and problems taking place in their body. So Imam Ali is praying to Allah that take the first thing that you take away from me should be my soul. That I mean, don't take away my vision, my eyesight before I die. Keep my eyes intact. Keep my eyesight intact. Don't take away the power to move my hands before I die. Don't take away the power to move my feet before I die. Keep me healthy. The first thing that you take away is my soul. So I die away without losing anything of my body. And when I lose, the first thing you take is that. When you take away the things, the first thing you take is the soul. So parts of the body are the amanat number 3. Likewise, the amanat number 4 is the amanat number 4 is al-majalis. Because hadith has said al-majalis bil-amana. All the gatherings are amanat. If two people are sitting together and they're discussing something, as they get separated from each other, they disperse, the gathering ends, the meeting ends. Whatever they discuss in the meeting is an amanat that should not be shared to those who were outside the meeting. Because the hadith says, al-majalis bil-amanah. So every meeting, every sitting, every gathering is an amanat. We are not supposed to tell one thing that we listen from a person to another without his permission. He doesn't need to say to you, don't tell it to anybody. These are the basic etiquettes of Islam. Unless he allows you to tell, don't tell it. Or unless if it's a public information already, everybody knows it already. That's a different story. But otherwise, the majalis are, the primary ruling is that it's an amanat, unless the person allows you, or if it's a public information. So all the majalis and gatherings are amanat, and and the most important of all the amanat in Islam is the walayat of the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Holy Quran, Inna aradna al-amanata ala samawati wal-ardi wal-jibal. We presented the amanat on the heavens and earth and mountains. Fa'abayna an yahmilnaha. They rejected to carry it. Wa'ashfaqna minha. And got scared from it. Wa'hamalaha al-insan. And the human carried it. Innal insana innahu kana zaluman jahula. Certainly, in other words, the human is extremely ignorant and extremely zalim and oppressive. So the amanat, there is an amanat of Allah which was presented on the heavens and the earth and the mountains with all its strength and power and size, and they all rejected. When we are talking about heavens, let's be very clear, it's not an ordinary thing, because I already told you in one of my speeches in the Eid sermon or something, even the sky number one, heaven number one, Asmane Awwal. When we talk about As-Sama'ul Ula, the first heaven, we believe in seven heavens, isn't that right? As-Samawat As-Sab'a, the seven heavens. So when we talk about the first heaven, this is something which is unthinkable for the human beings, because we are living on this small tiny planet called Earth, which is part of a solar system, which is part of a Milky Way, which the scientists say one end of the Milky Way towards the other end is 1 billion light years. We are not talking about all the different cosmos and all the different systems, different solar systems and different suns, which are uncountable. We don't even have no knowledge how many suns and how many solar systems and how many cosmos and how many other Milky Ways are available in the universe. We have no idea. So we cannot even judge the distance, the actual distance, and what is available from in our own Milky Way. And this is not the end of the world. There are uncountable number of other systems available in this whole universe. Isn't that right? And this whole universe, when we talk about in English, we are referring to the material world. We haven't yet gone beyond the limits of matter. We are talking about all those things which are within the world of matter. Isn't that right? So now when you cross the world of matter, that's where you start having access into the metaphysical world. And the first step of the metaphysical world is the sky number one, heaven number one. And whosoever has access to the heaven number one has access to everything which is there in the world of matter. Because the heaven number one is engulfing, as if it is engulfing the whole world of matter. So we are not talking about the greatness of this heaven number two, which is way high, So, and what to talk of all the seven heavens. So basically, the heavens and earth and the mountains rejected, not because of their disobedience. They are part of Alamut Takween. Didn't we discuss that already? All these things are part of Alamut Takween, the world of existences where there is zero disobedience towards Allah. Disobediences are in Alamut Tashri, the world of legislature which we, the humans and jinns, belong. So these things are part of Alamut Takween. So why do they reject in carrying the amanat? Not because of the fact that they are disobedient. They cannot be disobedient. Heavens and earth and mountains cannot be disobedient towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The reason why they rejected, our mufassireen say in their interpretation, is the reason why they rejected is because they understood their their limits, they understood their capability, they realize what they are, they are simply unable to carry the amanat. But the human was so ignorant and oppressor that he is the one who accepted to carry, and he. So amanat, al-amanato al-walayah, walayat of Amirul Mu'mineen alayhi salam is the amanat of Allah. So how do we behave towards the governance of Imam Ali alayhi salam? And right now it's the governance of Imam Mahdi alayhi salam, who is the commander in chief of the universe. That's the biggest amanat of Allah, our behavior towards the governance of the commander-in-chief of our time, the divine representative who's the most superior of all the deputies, all the prophets of God other than the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. When we say the Shubha, to keep our parts of body away from Shubha and confuse things with about which you are unclear, whether it's right or wrong, whether it's haq or batil, whether it's ja'iz or it's haram, it's halal or it's haram. If you are unclear, your responsibility, your taqwa and piety dictates you not to jump in, not to do it, unless you are clear, unless you remove your confusion, convert your doubt from the doubt towards a yaqeen and certitude, and then do it. So the duty in Islam for a person in shak is tawakkuf. Not to take a step. Stay where he is, unless he converts his shak into yaqeen. So those who have yaqeen have the right to take a step forward. Shubha, our taqwa dictates to be careful and not to jump in and make haste and make a decision or do things which are unclear. Lisan, the tongue. Lisan is something which I have already mentioned several times in my speeches, that we have the highest number of sins committed by the tongue. We talked about the sins of the tongue about 5-6 years ago. Basically, lisan and tongue of a person is considered to be the sign of his aql. If you want to judge, Islamically speaking, the intellect of a person, whether he is intellectual, quote-unquote, in the Islamic sense of the word or not, in the dictionary of the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt, alayhim salam, the person is intellectual or not, look at his control of tongue. Because the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, has said that la taksuru al kalama bighayri dhikrillah, don't talk a lot without the remembrance of Allah, without the zikr of Allah. Zikr means remembrance. Fa inna kasrat al kalam bighayri dhikrillah yaqsil qulub, because if you talk a lot without remembering Allah, it will make your souls stone hearted. Actually, worse than that. وَإِنَّ أَبْعَدَ النَّاسِ مِنَ اللَّهِ الْقَاسِ الْقَلْبِ. The farthest person away from Allah is the one who has this stone-heartedness in his soul. He's the farthest person away from Allah. So when you speak a lot without remembering God, you will end up becoming the farthest person from Allah. And Imam Ali alayhi salam has said that al-aqil man aqala lisanahu. Intellectual person is the one who aqal, who does aqal of his tongue. Aqal in Arabic means tying up. In in Arabic, truly speaking, the word aql and iqal is the word that was used for the chain or the rope that used to be tied in the neck of a camel. They used to tie up a chain or a rope in the neck of a camel so that it doesn't run away. So, or sometimes tie up a rope in the leg of a camel so it doesn't run away. So this is called iqal in Arabic. That's the root word. That's where the word of aql, the human intellect, is derived from. So intellect ties up our desires and contains our desire. If we use the intellect, we are actually taming our desires. We are, you know, controlling our desires. So aql's job is to control our desires and keep us on the path of worship of God. Al-aql ma ubida bih rahman wa tusiba bih jinan. Aql is something with which a person worships Rahman, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and acquires the paradise. So aql person is the one who actually controls his tongue. He is the aql person. Lots of problems have happened with the bad words, with bad usage of words, with bad abusive languages, with if we have just control our tongue a little bit, we would not end up having huge problems in our life. Sometimes this is a very important thing, controlling the tongue. Rubba kalamin, Imam Ali alayhi salam has said, Rubba kalamin jawabuhu sukut. There are lots of things, the answer to that statement is silence. Don't reply to everything. Every question doesn't deserve to be replied. Lots of statements, the answer towards those statements is silence. Rubba kalamin jawabuhu sukut. Especially when the other person is jahil and ignorant, we cannot get down to the level of an ignorant. If he uses abusive language, we cannot spoil our etiquettes because of his ignorance. So we won't do reciprocally, we won't use the bad language, we don't do that. We won't get down to that level. Imam Ali alayhi salam has said to his son Muhammad ibn al-Hanafiyya in his wasiyyat that, Ya Bunayya, La taqul ma la ta'lam. Oh my son, don't say what you don't know. Lots of people speak about things that they don't know. Isn't that right? That's one of the causes of divisions in any community, generally speaking. Because Imam Kazim alayhi salam has said that لو سكت الجاهل مختلف الناس. If the jahil person stays quiet, there will be no difference. There will be no division in the community. The division in community happens because the jahil, the ignorant, speaks up. Ignorant, the duty of the ignorant was to stay silent. Let the person who has knowledge, let him speak up. That doesn't happen. The ignorant speak up and there will be a difference and division. So, Imam Ali said to his son Muhammad ibn al-Hanafiyya in his will, Ya Bunayya, O my son, لا تقل ما لا تعلم. Don't say what you don't know. بل لا تقل كل ما تعلم. But don't say all what you know. That means all what you know is also not supposed to be said. Everything cannot be said to everybody at all times, you know. We have to have some wisdom in talking, when we talk, where we talk, to whom we are talking. Everything cannot be said. All what we know is not supposed to be said. Innakum, and another hadith says, Innakum mu'akhaduna bi aqwalikum fala taqulu illa khaira. You are held accountable for your statements. So don't say except khair and goodness. Nothing but khair and goodness should come from our tongue. And al-lisanu mizanul insan. The tongue is the criteria and yardstick to judge a human. You want to judge a person? Look at his control of his tongue. That's the hadith says. If you want to judge a person, if you the mizan, the criteria of a person is the tongue. That's the way we judge the people, in other words. And we find that Imam Ali alayhi salam has also said that tuba liman anfaqa al-fazla min malihi wa amsaka al-fazla min kalamihi. Somebody who gives away anything, whatever is extra, whatever is more than his needs from his money, and somebody who controls what is more than necessary, more than what is needed from his statements, this kind of person deserves to be congratulated. So anything more in your money, more than your needs, give it away. Anything more than necessary from your tongue, from your statements, from your words, don't say it. Keep it with you. Anyone who has this policy in his life, whatever more than his necessity, whatever wealth he has more than his necessity and need, he is ready to give away to others, poor people, others. And whatever is more than necessary to say, don't speak. This kind of person deserves to be congratulated. And the next thing before I finish my speech is Al-Muhafaza ala Hajjatul Islam. That means protecting the Hajjatul Islam. Hajjatul Islam is the wajib hajj which a person has to perform if he is capable and mustati. Istata'at in Islam. We always hold classes for hajj for those people who are usually who are going for hajj in the season of hajj. So istata'at includes three things. You know, if you are financially capable to go for hajj, and if you are health-wise capable to go and to go for hajj, and third of all, if the ways and the paths are open. Right now, in today's terminology, if you don't have a visa problem and restriction, so you can travel, so and other travel restrictions. So if all these three things are available, financial capability, health capability, you are healthy to travel, and traveling, the travel conditions and the regulations allow you, then you are a mustati, quote unquote, which means capable, and it's wajib on the person to, on a mustati person to go for hajj in the same year that you have, you become capable, you have istitaat, without delay, to the next year. Anybody who delays, Imam Sadiq alayhi salam has said and thus narrated in Sawabul Amal that man mata walam yahaj hajjat al Islam, because first wajib hajj of yours is called hajjat al Islam. If you go with somebody else's money, that hajj of yours is of course recommended and mustahab, but it will not be classified as hajjatul Islam. Hajjatul Islam is your first wajib hajj, which you go with your money. So Imam Sadiq al-Islam has said, man mata walam yahij hajjatul Islam, whosoever dies and he did not do his hajjatul Islam, walam yamna'hu min dhalika hajatun tajhafu bihi, nothing was stopping him from doing that. He had no need that was stopping him from that, in other words. And oh, maradun la yutiq, he had no illness that was causing him to be unable to go to do the hajj, in other words. And min ajlihi aw sultanin yamna'uhu, and there wasn't any government or a ruler who was stopping him from that. The paths were open, the visa regulations were okay, you know, because there isn't any government or ruler who was stopping you, in other words. فَلْيَمُتْ, if somebody ignores, that means he is capable of doing the hajj, but he still doesn't go for hajj and dies away from this world. He said, فَلْيَمُتْ إِنْشَاءَ يَهُودِيًّا وَإِنْشَاءَ نَصْرَانِيًّا. So basically, this guy passes away a Yahudi, as a Yahudi person or a Nasrani person. That means he doesn't pass away as a Muslim. So not doing the Hajj intentionally actually takes us out of the limits of Islam. We will discuss a little bit about the Hajj concept, which is important to understand that kind of Hajj which bears the desired fruits which Islam is anticipating. وصلى الله على سيدنا ونبينا محمد وآله المياميم.